Il est temps pour moi de terminer cette émission d'une heure d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel voilisteners@gmail.com. Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia-Brazil stands for two-state solution on Palestine. Indonesia is to send expert team to study Brazilian agricultural innovation. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva agreed that the only solution to achieving peace in the Middle East is to support the establishment of Palestinian as a state. In a joint statement following a bilateral meeting at the Planalto Palace, Brasilia on Brazil, on Wednesday, President Prabowo expressed his appreciation for President Lula's strong views on the need for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
And on the Middle East, again, we really value your strong stand on the need for immediate cessation ceasefire in Gaza, and also that the only solution will be a two-state solution. And we really value your strong stand for this.
In line with President Prabowo, the Brazilian president emphasized that recognizing the state of Palestine and making it a full member of the United Nations is the only way to achieve a two-state solution to end the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. He also stated that Brazil and Indonesia have always advocated for peace and prioritized dialogue and conflict resolution. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto announced the government's plan to send more expert team to Brazil to study agricultural innovation, modernization, and technology in the country. He revealed it in a joint press statement after a meeting with Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva at the Planalto Palace, Brasilia, Brazil, on Wednesday. President Prabowo said the plan has received approval from Brazilian President.
President Lula and your ministers have kindly accepted our request to send more of our teams of technical experts to study your innovation and your modernization as well as your technology here.
President Prabowo Subianto explained that Brazil has agricultural experience that Indonesia can learn from. He also outlined Indonesia's ambitious plan to achieve food self-sufficiency. The two leaders also discussed strengthening cooperation in the defense and military sectors. Both agreed to collaborate on developing missile and submarine technology. The Indonesian National Police conducted a simultaneous third-quarter corn planting event centered in social forestry area of Selo Lestari Forest, Grobogan, Central Java on Wednesday, July 9th. Chief of Indonesian National Police, General Listio Sigit Prabowo, in his speech revealed that the police have been assigned a target of planting corn on 1 million hectares of land in 2025, with an estimated harvest of between 4 to 10 million tons.
Kegiatan ini merupakan bentuk dukungan Polri.
This activity is a form of police support for the government in achieving food security by engaging in every stage, from land identification, seed preparation, planting and crop maintenance to ensuring the absorption of the harvest.
Furthermore, the general explained that to support the program, the police are also providing operational assistance in the form of hundreds and agricultural tools and food storage warehouses in 12 provinces. To ensure harvest absorption, the police have secured a strategy partnership with the state logistic agency as the primary off-taker. Indonesia's Minister of Forestry, Raja Juli Antoni, stated that President Prabowo's administration has designated for social forestry as a social national strategic project, particularly to support food, energy, and water security. In his remarks during the third quarter simultaneous corn planting event held in social forestry area in Grobogan Regency, Central Java on Wednesday, July 9th, he explained that out of 8.3 million hectares of social forestry land granted to communities, around 5,013 hectares have been identified as having potential for corn agroforestry cultivation.
Dan tentu apa yang diinginkan oleh Presiden.
President Prabowo's vision is very clear. As he stated in his speech, food self-sufficiency is a matter of national sovereignty, but it is also directly linked to improving the welfare of farmers.
Raja Juli Antoni also expressed the ministry's full readiness to collaborate with various stakeholders in preserving forest ecosystem while enhancing the forestry sector's contribution to national food sufficiency. He further appreciated the active role of the Indonesian National Police in strengthening food security through the use of social forestry land. The Indonesian government is taking seriously this recent policy announced by U.S. President Donald Trump, which is impose a 32% import tariffs on goods from Indonesia. Speaking to reporters on the sidelines of the ASEAN foreign minister meetings in Kuala Lumpur on Wednesday night, July 9th, Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono called a policy a wake-up call for the nation to boost its domestic economy and lessen its reliance on other countries.
Ya, ini merupakan sesuatu yang harus kita sadari bahwa
this is something we must realize. It's a wake-up call for us. I believe what President Prabowo has planned is already on the right track. We want to be self-sufficient in food, energy, and other basic needs.
Swasembada memenuhi kebutuhan pangan kita, energi kita, dan ini merupakan sesuatu yang basic yang harus dipenuhi.
The new U.S. tariff policy will be officially take effect on August 1, 2025. Indonesia is one of the 14 countries that have received an official letter from the Trump administration regarding this policy. Other countries on the list include Malaysia, Thailand, and Tunisia. Minister Sugiono emphasized that the current strategies of the Indonesian government, including food security, energy independence, and investment in human capital through the Free Nutritious Meal Program, are the right steps to face growing global pressure. Jakarta is collaborating with the Indonesian diaspora to accelerate its transformation into a global city. Ofra has the detail.
The provincial government of Jakarta, in partnership with the Indonesian Diaspora Network Global, held a seminar titled The Role of the Indonesian Diaspora in Accelerating Jakarta as a Global City. The event was part of the Road to the 8th Congress of Indonesian Diaspora and reflected the network global's commitment to supporting Jakarta's transformations into a global city. During the event held in Jakarta on Thursday, Jakarta Governor Pramono Anung emphasized the importance of improving the quality of human resources in Jakarta to position the city as a national economic hub and a global city.
To improve human resources in Jakarta, what needs to be done? I revised what is known as the Jakarta Scholarship for Outstanding Students, or KJMU. Previously, it only covered undergraduate degrees, but now we provide opportunities for master's and doctoral studies. I believe that if a child from an underprivileged family can earn a doctorate, they can break the cycle of misfortune within their family. Through various approaches, I believe Jakarta, under Law No. 2 of 2024, is evolving into the center of national economic growth and a global city.
In addition to human capital development, Governor Pramono highlighted the importance of reforming transportation and connectivity systems to support Jakarta's global ambitions. He noted that even though Jakarta is no longer the national capital, it still contributes significantly to the country's economy. Meanwhile, President of Indonesia's Diaspora Network Global, Sulistiawan Wibisono, underscores the strategic role of the Indonesian diaspora in national development, particularly through the exchange of ideas, knowledge, and global networks.
Among our movement and network, there are many Indonesians who work or live outside the territory of the Republic of Indonesia. They truly hope to be invited to contribute their thoughts, share their knowledge, offer their time and energy, and most importantly, contribute what we call their network, which is extremely valuable.
Jakarta's efforts to become a global city have received support from international partners, including the governments of the Netherlands and the United Kingdom, the Asian Development Bank Indonesia, and the Japan International Cooperation Agency. Ofarina, Voice of Indonesia.
That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Now, today's commentary.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, in a joint press statement at the Brazilian Presidential Palace, Palacio do Planalto, Brasilia, Brazil, on Wednesday, July the 9th, expressed their support for Palestine's full membership in the United Nations. According to the two leaders, only by becoming a full member of the UN will Palestine have an equal standing with Israel in realizing a two-state solution. President Lula da Silva stated that recognizing the state of Palestine and making it full member of the UN to ensure equal standing is necessary to realize a two-state solution. President Lula also emphasized that Indonesia and Brazil have never tired of condemning Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Meanwhile, President Prabowo Subianto stated that Indonesia and Brazil agree that only a two-state solution can end the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Therefore, President Prabowo Subianto supports President Lula's statement delivered at the 17th BRICS Summit to reform the UN and global governance. In the joint press statement, President Prabowo emphasized the need for UN reform that includes other major players in the global arena. According to the president, Indonesia and Brazil, along with other countries such as India, South Africa, Egypt, Nigeria, Germany, Japan, and Mexico, must join forces to reform the UN and global governance. Palestine currently holds the status of a non-member permanent observer state, even though the majority of member states at the UN General Assembly on May 10, 2024, agreed to Palestine becoming a full member of the United Nations. At the 79th UN General Assembly in September 2024, although not yet officially a permanent member of the UN, Palestine was granted a seat equal to that of a member. At that time, Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, sat at a chair and table emblazoned with the words State of Palestine. It is hoped that Palestine will soon officially become a permanent member of the United Nations, thus gaining equal standing with Israel in realizing a two-state solution. That was commentary.
Oh, to protect our children. Let us pray.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Banten, namely Pandeglang. Actually, this region is not far from Jakarta. The province was part of West Java Province, but it has been expanded since 2000 based on the new law number 23/2000. Its central government is in Serang. The region has traditions which are still preserved by people and supported by Banten Tourism Office. One of the traditions which is still preserved by Pandeglang people is Rampak Beduk. In all mosques, beduk is found and used by local people as media to remind obligatory prayers time. The word of rampak means serempak, or in English means simultaneous. So, rampak beduk is beduk art by using waditra, namely many beduks and beaten simultaneously, and it produces beautiful typical rhythm. Rampak Beduk only exists in Banten as characteristic of Banten's culture. Rampak Beduk is development of Beduk art or Ngadulak. Ngabeduk can be played by someone professional.
Jauh sebelum ada berdirinya Kesultanan, itu Banten.
Long before the establishment of Banten Sultanate, there was Sundanese kingdom, which was not different from its tradition and language with West Java. When the Sultanate entered to Banten region, there was cultural assimilation between Javanese and Sundanese cultures. Thus, Banten has many sources which can be found from local traditions. It can be seen from its art and its north beach. Take, for example, many arts are in Islamic nuance. South Banten has more tradition related to religious rituals, especially to commemorate or just express gratitude to the gods on its abundant harvest. Rampak Beduk was performed for the first time in 1950s. At the times, in Pandeglang district, competition was held among hamlets. Then, in 1960 to 1970, Haji Ilan created creative dance in Rampak Beduk, which has developed today. Then, Rampak Beduk is again developed by Burhatta, Juju, and Rahmat. Therefore, Haji Ilan and his friends are the figures of Rampak Beduk art. From those artists, Rampak Beduk art spread to other regions. Until the end of 2002, there were many Rampak Beduk groups. For the first time, Rampak Beduk was to welcome the holy months of Ramadan and Idul Fitri. It performs is like Ngabeduk or Ngadulak.
Awalnya ngadu beduk ini memperlihatkan kejantanan sebuah kampung gitu ya.
At the beginning, to compete, beduk was to show masculinity of a hamlet where young men or residents of the hamlet had power. More beduks, which are owned, showed that the hamlet had a man who was stronger. When Idul Fitri or when Ramadan came, there was tradition where resistant conducted beduk nganjor.
Tentu beduknya tidak sebesar yang beduk di Tabuk.
Nganjor was to move. Certainly, its beduk was not as big as beduk which was beaten when there was a competition. Because then, nganjor was mobile and its beduk were smaller to carry around alleyway. Those people who carried it shouted one another, and then they met in one place to play together.
Thank you.
Beduk itself is one of percussion instruments. Interestingly, the typical beduk of Banten is not made from wood like other beduk in Indonesia. Beduk from Banten is made from coconut trunk, which is perforated on the middle. Then, one side is covered by using cow leather and tied with discarding made from guava tree. Rampak beduk is genial art and can attract the audiences so that rampak beduk is worth selling, similar with other commercial musical art. Although the originators and players are based on religious motivation, rampak beduk artists and creator view it as valuable work of art.
Di masyarakat Pandeglang, beduk adalah sebuah tradisi.
According to the people in Pandeglang, beduk is tradition which become power and symbol of masculinity. Then it develops as other tradition and it follows the changing times, which originally come from music only. When there is requirement for performance, technical elements of the performance are combined with the art. There are choreography, fashion arrangements, stage arrangements, and many others. Now, people call it as Rampak Beduk. Actually, it is not only music, but also dance, fine art, theater in it. Religious, economic, and creative values make Banten people be able to preserve Rampak Beduk. The functions of the values make Rampak Beduk survive from the influence of foreign culture, which is loved by young generation. Rampak Beduk is not only an art for Banten people, but also a tradition.
Sebuah tradisi itu akan bertahan jika masyarakat.
A tradition will survive if people need it. It is possible if young people want to preserve it without surviving it. And Karang Tanjung belonging to Kembang Tanjung Studio proved that they do not only talk but also do it. What the elder did with various creations and package still survive, and this is loved by young people. Creative art will develop rapidly. Rampak Beduk is getting richer and richer with creativity without eliminating values which have been determined in the art. Diversity and togetherness exist clearly in Rampak Beduk. Well, listener, that was a glimpse of traditional instrument from Banten featuring Rampak Beduk. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sibandang Tourism Village was inaugurated as one of the top 50 best tourist villages in Indonesia in the 2024 Indonesian Tourism Village Award ADWI on July 4th. The village, formed by a collaboration of three villages, Sibandang Village, Papande Village, and Sampuran Village, is one of the 16 sites of the Toba UNESCO Global Caldera Geopark. Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village has a natural abundance surrounded by the eye-pleasing blue water of Lake Toba. While traveling there, you can immediately see the fertile land on Sibandang Island, an outcome of the Mount Toba eruption. The land there is planted with various plants, such as udang mango, the small-sized mango typical of Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village. Sibandang Tourism Village is located in North Tapanuli Regency, North Sumatra. From Silangit Airport, getting to the Pulau Sibandang area only takes about 45 minutes by land. While arriving at the village, you will immediately see the expanse of the waters of Lake Toba. Besides enjoying the lake view, you can go sailing a wooden boat, watch the traditional dances, go trekking, and go cycling. You can also join the Udang Mango Agrotourism. It has a sweet taste with thin flesh. Apart from eating mangoes, tourists can also see the first mango trees hundreds of years old, planted by the Dutch. One of the villages on Pulau Sibandang, Papande Village, is a producer of the woven cloth of Harungguan Ulos. According to legend, Harungguan Ulos were once only worn by kings. Harungguan Ulos clothes that are woven by the community still use traditional looms and natural dyes. In Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village, you can watch people weaving Harungguan Ulos. Besides that, you can also learn the history of the Sibandang Kingdom. There are traces of the kingdom that still stands on Pulau Sibandang, such as the stone fort and Rumah Bolon, which was the king's palace at that time. Some royal era furniture is also still found in Rumah Bolon.
Yang ku mau, kau tak mau. Selalu jadi masalah. Yang ku mau, kau tak mau. Selalu saja berbeda. Yang ku mau, kau tak mau. Kau tak mau. Yang ku mau, yang ku mau.
Untuk selalu.